This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, we're just going to look at one verse today. Colossians chapter 1, that's in the New Testament, that's right after Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1. Walk on water Christianity. While you're turning, I'd like to pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, that you are such an awesome God that truly we can rejoice in you. For, Lord, you are the Most High God. You are our Creator. You are the Most High. I thank you, O God, that when we come to worship you, Lord, we can do it in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O God, that you've sent your Holy Spirit to indwell your people, Lord, that we might, by the Spirit, may lift our hands and worship and rejoice in you. We thank you, God, that you live in us now, and you are sending us, Lord, this word, O God. I pray that we may hear it. I pray, O God, that we may not put this word to the ground, but that, O God, that it would find a dwelling place in us alongside your Holy Spirit, Lord. That Holy Spirit, you would cause it to live in us. Bring it to our remembrance, O God. Let us live in the strength of it, O God. Let us feed on it, O God. Let it become part of our spirit, Lord, that we may learn to be a rejoicing people in the truth of your word, in the love, Lord, the strength of your love for us, and the forgiveness that we experience every day. I thank you for this word in Colossians, Lord. Bless it to your people, Lord, and receive a great and harvest today, Lord, of all that will hear it, Lord. May they hear it, Lord, as you send it in the power of your spirit. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 11. And it says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now, if we're looking at this verse and you're reading it in King James, you obviously know we're breaking in the middle of a thought here, but this verse can stand alone and can stand under the strength of just being preached alone. But really what it's saying here is that God is giving a promise to his church, to his bride, those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And this promise is that I, the Lord is saying, I am going to strengthen you who are my body, my church, my bride, with all might. I will strengthen you with divine power and divine ability according to his glorious power, this power that is limitless, this power that knows no end or beginning. It is infinite. It is unstoppable. This kind of power is going to be given to my saints, and we're going to be strengthened with this unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, God is saying here that he's going to strengthen us with all might. He's going to infuse into our character. He's going to give us a moral strength. He's going to mold us according to his glorious power into an enduring patience. He is going to give his church an enduring long suffering that is going to break into joy. He is going to, for everyone that can hear this verse and what this message is about, he says, I'm going to strengthen you with all power to make my church one full of all patience. And we're going to see what that word means in a moment. And all long suffering. And I'm going to give this incredible abilities, this moral fiber, this moral character into my church. And it's not just going to be patience and long suffering. It's going to be a patience and long suffering that pushes through into joy. And everyone's going to know God is with you. He says, I'm going to give you this. Now, what is it about patience and what is it about long-suffering that God so prizes these characteristics, this fruit of the Spirit, that he promises all the might and all the glorious power of heaven to come and give it to us? What is it about patience and what is it about long suffering that his church, his bride, he says, everything of heaven will be at your disposal. I will strengthen you. This is a promise for you, the church, if you can hear me and understand what it is for. And he says, when you cry out to me and you begin to understand what it is I'm promising you, and you will receive it and you will be tested in it. You'll not just walk in this grace, but you'll push into joyfulness. And it will be a glorious church that walks in this. Now, what is a definition of patience? What is it? Why is God saying you're going to be strengthened with all might according to his power unto all patience and unto all long suffering? What is God saying to the church about patience and long suffering? Well, patience is this ability. If you look it up in the original words, it means the ability in all and every situation to abide or live under certain pressures, trials, sufferings, pain, sorrows, and not surrender to the circumstances. It means being able to abide and to live under a certain kind of pressure and trial, not just for an hour, not just for a day, but for a God-appointed season, to be able to live under this trial, not surrender to it, not give in, and to live with hope. You see, patience and hope are braided together. There is no such thing as a godly patience without a godly hope, a godly expectation. There will be no patience under certain kinds of trials and tribulations. There will be no lasting, enduring patience without hope. And God has put that together because true spiritual patience only lives and some days survives because it has hope. He that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. God knows what he is doing. God knows what it is that why he is putting his body, his beloved bride, in situations where he says, now, there are times that I'm going to come to you as your deliverer. There are days I'm going to come to you as the answer to every prayer that you've ever prayed. But there are times for my good season that you are going to have to learn to abide, to live in, to live under a certain trial, a certain sorrow, a certain knowledge, a certain pressure for my reasons. And you're going to learn to live under it with patience. You are going to learn to have an enduringness, a toughness, and that you will not surrender, you will not give in this trial, because it's going to be threaded through with hope. The Bible says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, there was prayer that went up in that temple, and it was like the Bible says, an incense. Incense is a picture of prayer. And in this Old Testament temple, prayer went up. And in our temple, because the Bible tells us, if we are in Christ, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us, lives in us. And our mind, our soul, our bodies are a temple. And we offer up prayers. And this prayer is like incense. And there is an odor, that means. There's a scent to this. And for some, their lives and their prayers have a scent of fear in it. Their lives and their prayers have a scent of unbelief in it. And the enemy can detect that. He senses that. And the Lord knows this. And he is taking his beloved bride. He knows that Whatever we withhold from God, the enemy feeds on it. If we're withholding a declaration of trust or a declaration of saying, oh God, you see what's in my heart, and I offer everything in my heart, my unbelief, my fear, but God, I say that you are God, and I offer this to you. I offer this thing that seemingly goes on in my life for a season, and I labor under it. And God, I'm not going to withhold declaring that I'm going to trust you no matter what I'm feeling or thinking at this moment. I'm not going to let the enemy feed on something that I'm not giving over to you so that he can turn it all into fear. I want this temple, God, to be when I offer my prayers, Lord, I offer an honest heart, but I begin to call on you and I begin to say, God, I'm going to declare whether or not at that moment I am the picture or the perfect example of a Christian that fully trusts. I am going to declare, God, you see me under this trial, and this area where I need patience, where I need long suffering, where I need an endurance, I'm going to call on you, God, and you're going to strengthen me with all might according to your glorious power. And what I give to you is going to be transformed from fear to faith. From unbelief to belief, I'm going to declare, because you say you're going to answer me with strength and you're going to answer me with might from heaven. And God says, I know why I have something that you have to learn to live under for a season. Because there's something that only a saint that has lived under, has endured, knows what it is to keep on believing and keep on trusting time after time, season after season. Those have power with me. Against the enemy. You know, sometimes we have something in our life and we want it with all our heart, and we wrap our heart around what we want, and it can be very good things. To our understanding, it's a very good thing. Why would God withhold it? But the problem is that every time we go to prayer, these prayers in our temple, after a season, this prayer isn't being answered, and we're in the trial of enduring. We're in the trial of we're in that school of patience and long suffering, and things aren't happening. And many times, prayers like this they start to be turned. These prayers begin, something begins to happen when we pray them. We don't realize that in our spirit something is happening. And it can be that we wrap our heart around it, and it becomes, whether this certain prayer or not is answered, and it hasn't been answered in a long time, it begins to control and dominate us. The prayer itself, not God, not Him, but the prayer itself and the longings begin to dominate and control us. And instead of praying prayers of releasing or praying prayers of God, you're good and you love me and you know why the answer is not come. You understand what maybe is beginning to wrap itself around this prayer that I've had for many days, or this desperate prayer that I want that there's no answer to. And God, instead of, I just release it to you. I need strength from heaven. I need to be visited by you to be able to pray a prayer of release and say, God, whatever you want, I declare you good. I declare you to be my God. I declare, God, that I want to be able to fully give it to you and have a peace come in that whatever, however you decide, I'm going to declare it was the best thing for my life. I'm going to declare that, God, when you have your way, it will be glorious. By the end of the story, I will thank you every day. I said, God, come have your way, and not me fight and wrestle with you over it. Where the prayer, an unanswered prayer or a long time prayer, God, I want you to come now. If I've got my arms and heart and head so wrapped around this prayer that it's driving me, it's the pressure that is controlling even my faith and whether I can believe you. You see, God says, no, I will visit you, and that Dagon in your temple, it's going to lose its head. You see, in the Old Testament, it says that when the Ark of the Covenant was put in a temple, that's the presence of God, was put in a temple where another idol was, that false idol ended up falling before the Ark of God and its head breaking off. And God loves us so much, He knows that if there for a season there has to be a prayer, there has to be a situation in our life that are not resolved overnight, God says, you see, you've got to learn now to let everything fall before me. It's got to lose its head, its ability to speak to you, control you. It's, I will break the power of it that you may bow before me, and I will release you into something more than you've ever known. I will release you into being a believer full of patience. Beloved, wait, do you hear where the power is? What patience does for us and in us and through us. I will make you a patient Christian, able to long suffer for my good purpose. And it will be glorious. I had one time in my life I really, really, really wanted to move. I didn't want to live where I was living anymore. But when I moved into this house, I've told this story a couple of times, but I moved into this house that I ended up wanting to move from, and I went in and I knelt and I said, Lord, that I may find you here. And it was a very strange prayer because I was a Christian. And I said, Lord, that I may find you here in this place. You see, because the Holy Ghost was saying, Teresa, this house is going to represent a struggle in your heart. Living here is I'm going to drive something up to the surface in your heart you didn't know anything about. Living in this place of my choosing, I've led you here for a very specific purpose, and it's to deliver you. That you would find me here, because Teresa, you don't know, but there's an unsurrendered area of your heart, and it has the ability, if I let it go, to control you. It has the ability to become an idol to you. It has the ability to take the good work that I've started in you and mar it. And when I went to that place and I knelt, Lord, that I may find you here, I didn't realize how prophetic that prayer was. I didn't realize the depth and the need for that prayer. I didn't understand why I would pray that in my own house. But as I lived there, and as I started not wanting to live there, and as I started scheming and planning how to move from there, how it began to take over my thoughts, and like, God, you know why I shouldn't be living here. You know why I'm not supposed to be here. You know why we should take up and move over there. And I would begin to pray, and God, you've got to do this. You've got to change this. All of a sudden, other things started coming up in my heart. It was, what is this? Isn't this prayer about where I live? God says, yes, more than you know. Where you live in your head and where you live in your heart. God said, no, I love you so much. You're going to stay here. And my perfect will, what I have designed from the beginning that should be accomplished in you, I'm going to complete it. This is a God-appointed place, and that unsurrendered part of your heart, you're not going to get your way, Teresa. I'm going to answer that first prayer. That you may find me here. That unsurrendered part of your heart, you may find me there, and that everything that was controlling you about that situation may fall before me and lose its head, lose its power to direct you and speak to you. And beloved, that happened. And I can tell you at the end of all that God brought up in my heart and all that He was dealing with in my mind and my spirit and all concepts I had about God Himself, it's amazing what God can do in just one little area that we've wrapped around and we pray for. God, just take me out of here. Just do this. Just change this. Just answer. Just give me this. And we keep praying and it doesn't happen. Beloved, you might be dealing with something far deeper, far greater than you know in your heart. And God is so awesome. He did deliver me. He visited that unsurrendered part of my heart. And He came Himself. He caused me to stand in His light. And in His light, we see light. And I began to understand things in my own heart, in my own mind, my own bondages, my own areas where I was totally ignorant of before I moved to that place. And when God did set me free and we finally did move, it wasn't to the place I thought around the corner. It was to New York City, but a different woman. So I went out and I bought a plaque and I hung it on my wall here. And it says, God gives the best to those who leave the choice to Him. And I've found that many times when we're impatient in trials, when we're impatient in our trials, impatient in our pressure, impatient, we're dealing with an unsurrendered part of our heart. True faith is never in a hurry. True faith is never in a hurry. Keep saying, God, you know, you see, I'm trusting you now. My flesh wants something. My mind may want something. But God, you know, you see, and you're working out day by day something so deep in me. I'm trusting you in this. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I think my flesh thinks now. My mind thinks now. But God, I by faith am declaring you're an on-time God. And my faith will not be in a hurry. I'll recognize you are good and you're doing something in me. And something so precious in me. And James 1:2 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. You see, beloved, if we're going to be a patient people, that automatically means our faith is going to get tried. See, this is not a cheap grace. This is not a cheap character trait we're talking about here, to be a patient person. That means you've been tried. You've been tried by the fire. You've been tried by the water. You've been tried by your own heart. If you're a patient person, that is amazing. You've been tried. It's not a cheap grace. Patience is pure gold out of the fire. And there's no way to get it but that our faith be tried. If you are a patient person, you're becoming a patient person. That is an incredible thing to say. That's why the scripture says, but let patience have its perfect work. That's why patience says that there is going to be a perfect work, entire and wanting nothing. If we will recognize that, God, I may be under a trial that's not ending, that I need an endurance in me, that I will not run, that I will not succumb, that I will not go under, but have hope through it all and know that there is some things not going to be resolved in a day. Oh, God, if that is what I'm facing, if that's what's being braided into my life right now, God, I'm beginning to thank you and praise you because you have something very precious to put into my life. Yes. Something so enduring, something that's going to transform me. Because, beloved, I'm convinced that there's no such thing as wasted pain. There's no such thing as wasted time in God. It's all for something to make us so powerful. If God is asking you to be patient, if God is calling you to be patient, know that He has something unbelievable in store for you. Unbelievable, something great. This last Friday, I had the absolute privilege and pleasure of going up to Harlem Times Square Church. Pastor Michael St. Gerard, he had been working in that community for over 10 years. I can't tell you how I was so affected by that service Friday night. There was about 50, it's teens and young people service. About 50 of them, they're there on this warm evening. And it's a church service. There's a worship and there's a word. And I was looking around and there was about 50 there, half young males. And I realized that this pastor that's been working among them, God, this has to be a work of patience. He was telling me that, you know, he looks out over all the empty seats. Sometimes the enemy just wants you to look at the empty seats and not the full seats. There was days he'd look out at the empty seats and say, God, all these young men that used to be here and now they've just melted back down the stairs, back out on the street. And I would go and I would visit them at school. I'd visit them at home. I would visit them and it would be like, God, it just seems impossible in this community to get a young male to be totally sold out for Christ. There seems to be so much that works against him, so much that would take his faith. Every time it's a tiny little shoot planted in the ground, there is something so destructive, something so much powerful to take it. The second he hits those streets and take it out of him. He's had mothers come and withstand him to the face and say, look, I don't want all this prayer and Bible reading with my boy. They can come play basketball with you, but don't open that Bible too much. Don't pray too much. That scares me. And he would go and when they would get in trouble and it was like, oh God, he began, God, We need these young males. We need them, oh God, that are on fire for you. We need something, oh God, where they are transformed. And it seems like no one could stand. But he wouldn't give up. And year after year, he would pour his life, pour his tears, pour his prayers in there. Why? Because he's God-gripped, but also he had to learn patience. You see, you don't just walk into a community, say, I'm here, now have a seat. It doesn't work that way. And they had to see what is he made of, and what is he really about, and what really are his motives. But praise God, when I'm sitting there, and I see what is there happening, it's like, oh God, I thank you that when you have patience, there will be a harvest. He was saying that he would go into some of the homes and the apartments, and he would see such the devastation and mom and the drugs and everything, and the kids not asleep till 5, and then they have to go to 5 a.m. and they have to go to school and they can't get their work done no matter what. It was like, oh God, he began to weep. Get them out of these apartments. He began to weep. Oh God, get them out of these schools. They're persecuted. Their lives are in danger. If they want to stand for you, they endure such ridicule. God, take them out of these schools. Take them out of these apartments. God said to him one day, don't you think, know this, Michael. I love them more than you. And I know what I'm doing. You see, I'm going to teach. I'm going to get a handful. And you stay in your place. You be where you need to be. But I am building in some Christians that are going to learn to walk on water. I'm going to take them through that apartment situation. I'm going to take them through that school situation. Whatever they have to face. You be in your place, Michael. You be enduring. You know what it is to be long-suffering. But I know how to bring a harvest. And I need you in your place that you will endure under trial. You'll endure under desperation. You will endure under what you see. And I want to be able to speak to your heart. And I want to thread it through with hope. I want you to know that in this place, I have more than a remnant. I have young men that I'm going to transform. They're going to turn their community upside down. And talking to him Friday night, you know, I was saying, what can we do for you? What can we do for you? He says, first of all, I have to tell you, I'm not really discouraged. I'm not really in despair. You see, because he's endured for over 10 years. But in this endurance, in this patience, threaded through with hope, the voice of God saying, look, I know what I am doing. I'm going to give you walk on water, Christians. I'm going to show them walk on water Christianity, because that's what it takes up there. That's what it takes down here too, but praise God, I believe God's starting it there. He said, you know, sometimes all we do is we just leave the lights on where we meet. And he goes, it's strange, but where we're situated, the light from this place, the third floor place, it just shines out into strategic places all over the streets. And they say the kids, when he's down on the streets and the ones that used to come, they look up and they see the light on, and somehow it gives them hope. They're still there. There's something about just the light on and they're still there. They still meet. There's something about enduring Christians that won't run away and back away when everything's not answered in a week. There's something about people that will stay in the battle, will lift up their voice and say, God, speak to me. What is it about your heart? And God will show them incredible things. And he's saying, you just keep there. You be there. Show up. Show up. Keep the light on. I know how to bring them. And it's like God is doing something in that group that is there. He's doing something so deep and persevering in them. They're not going to buckle. They're not going to run in the hard time, but they're going to be threaded through with hope. I said, okay, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to go back. And I'm going to ask every woman I meet. I'm going to ask the women of our church if somehow the vision of these young men and these women at this church, oh God, that if you could put them before our eyes, that we could begin to pray an enduring prayer. Pray a patient prayer. Pray the kind of prayer that God hears, that it doesn't matter how long it takes, God, you know what you're doing. You know what strongholds you're breaking down. You know what seed you're planting in the ground. But it takes someone staying there in prayer and someone physically there to get the harvest. My heart, he told me the story of a young girl, and she came in as a young girl and they ministered to her and she got pregnant. She gave the baby away, and then she came back in. She was ashamed. They ministered to her, and then she went out. She got pregnant. She had an abortion. Now she can't hold her head up. Now she won't go back in. But I tell you, an enduring faith, an enduring Christian that loves, is going to stay there. Because who knows if that's not going to be the Esther of her street. The Esther of her block, the Esther of her place. As they keep reaching out to her, as they keep saying, you don't have to live like this. You are more precious than that. There is something better for you. And because they keep enduring, because they won't turn away, because they'll keep their heads lifting up, someday I believe they're going to reach her and many like her. Lift up your head. God loves you. God will forgive you. God will give you that new life. Come back in. They're enduring, and they'll teach her that God is faithful. But where do we get these breakthroughs except that we will stay in our place with hope, persevering, that patience will have its perfect work in us, where I live in hope, where my world may be a storm, but my heart is calm with the hope and the trust. That testimony is still needed. That I can live in hope while I live in pain. I can live in hope while I live in disappointment. I can live in hope no matter what I see at this moment. Because I'm learning to have an enduring faith, a patience. A patience in my God. A patience that He is doing something far beyond I could think or know. Because sometimes that's what's needed. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, mature, wanting nothing. Not wanting nothing but what God has spoken to you about that situation. Developing patience, and because then we develop a long-range vision. A long-range vision where we can go and we can say, God, I want to go up to your mountain in prayer. I want to be standing in this place, and I need a vision of prayer. I need your vision when I pray. I need to see these young people. I need to see my family. I need to see my children. I need to see the Toba Indians. Beloved, you see, that's why we go to Argentina, to Toba, and Harlem, and our own households. Don't you see, when we pray fervently for one group, because God gives us faith to pray for one group, it spills over that we can pray with the same faith and further fervor for the other group. That's why God is not limited. You know, that's why we just focus, you know, on me, mine, and ours, or this little group here. No. God wants to take us up to the mountain. We get this vision of what He will do, of what He is doing. Sometimes, beloved, we just look at the work of God through a straw, and we get like a half an inch view. When we go up to the mountain of prayer, the straw goes, and we get this panorama. But then, what will we do with what we see? Will we pray a short prayer? Will we pray a short while? Will we pray some short prayers? And go down the mountain and pick up the straw? Or will we say, my God, you promised me in Colossians that you will strengthen me with all might. That when I get discouraged, when my own life seems rough, when something hell sits on my mind and wants to shut down my faith, will I remember Colossians where it says, you will strengthen me with all might according to your glorious power. God, when I'm the weakest, when I'm the most oppressed, when I'm the most hopeless and helpless, oh God, I turn to the promise you've given me that you will strengthen me with all might according to your glorious power unto all patience, unto all patience, all the patience I need, all the endurance for strength not to buckle under that trial or surrender to despair and unbelief. Oh God, you'll strengthen me with might, because that's my heritage in God. It doesn't matter if I've been saved 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years. God, you want to start now with strengthening me that I, oh God, may have this kind of patience. All patience that endures. That God, I may walk with you. And though it may take a season, a long time, I just get stronger because I'm calling on your strength. I'm calling for your vision. I'm not going to get weaker, but I will get stronger. Yes. Yes, there are days, there are times we ourselves go under the oppression. There are times, but you know, sometimes God takes us through heart struggles so that when we minister, it's out of compassion. We're not preaching from the mountaintop. Someday you'll be like me. No. It's actually, I know what you're talking about. I know how weak a human heart can be. I know how it can give way to despair and fear. I know that. But somehow I found that when I start to sink, I can only sink so far because Jesus is the rock that I land on every time. And when I begin to call on him, that rock just seems to grow, breaks through the water and lifts me up, puts my head above the head of my enemies. And I get a new vision again because I'm going to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power on what it is to be unto all patience. And beloved, I love it when it says with joyfulness. Some of the most alive people I met at Harlem Square were people that have been there 10 years. The young man that came to pick me up, he said, I've been with Pastor Mike. I was 10 years old when he came and now he's married. And he works with him. The young man that plays the drums for the worship team, he went there when he was 10 years old. Now he's 17. He's the worship leader. When I go there, I see three-year-olds sitting under a table sleeping. I see Latino gang members there. I see communities that shouldn't be there worshiping. I see a miracle there because somebody's persevering. Somebody's enduring. Somebody, every prayer they pray, it ends up being laced with hope because God's in the prayer. It's a prayer of vision. My sisters, I pray that you and I will take up this burden that will be God's burden. It's not ours that we lay on ourselves, but oh God, I want you to teach me to have an enduring prayer. Prayers that won't give up because you never give up. God, I want you to lay on my heart some young person. God, my family, my co-workers, those that you've laid there. But God, I want to make a difference in this generation. I want a prayer for women in this church to say, as long as I live, there's not going to be young people unprayed for. As long as I have breath and God gives me vision, my life will count for something. I'm going to be a woman of vision. God, you're going to open my eyes and it's going to be an enduring prayer. And my speech is going to be filled with hope because that's what I get in the prayer closet. That's when I lift up, when I lift them up. God, in your word says, you'll strengthen me to pray. You'll strengthen me to believe unto all patience. And what a difference our speech will change when we become people of patience. Sometimes, you know, we look at life around us, especially being a mom. You look at small children and you think, you know, on one level there's life and there's growing. But when you look at them day to day, there doesn't seem to be a lot of change, especially after rapid growth. Then they go into that phase where they're 2T or 3T. That same clothing size forever and ever. They don't change. They just stay in that after rapid growth and you're having to buy clothes all the time. All of a sudden they hit that stretch. They wear the same size for a long time. But what's happening? Has life stopped? Have they stopped growing? No, life is in that child. Life is in that child. But they're just losing their baby fat. They're getting ready to grow tall. They're shedding the baby fat, the life in them. But even though the outward change, the outward rapid growth does not seem to be there, it's just transforming into another kind of growth. Life is there. But if we look day to day, there doesn't seem to be anything on the outside, but so much is happening on the inside. And we begin, beloved, we need prayers and vision like that. We refuse the lie of the enemy that says nothing's happening and there's no life. Look, no change. No change of garment. No outer change. No, that's not the truth. They're a small child needing our prayer. They're growing. They're losing the baby fat. They're going to grow tall. We keep praying because that's the principle that's happening in them. We say, God, protect them and protect them, God. Keep them from the enemy. Give them a heart on fire for you. And beloved, we need, and as we pray that for them, we'll get it. What we want to be, we will become. What we are asking God to make them, I don't know why, how that happened. I don't know what the spiritual principle is. A lot like electricity. I can't tell you much about it. Except it works. Same with prayer. You know, beloved, the devil can convince you. You can't pray those kind of prayers because you look so unlike Christ. You can't leave that kind of, you know, strong praying for the ones with more victory. Leave that kind of prayers for people who really know how to pray, who will show up at a prayer meeting even. But me, I'm me. You see, the devil so fears that Christ is in you. He has to, when anything concerning Christ in you, he has to lie all over it because he has to mask the incredible power and truth that Christ in you is your hope of glory. I have three children. The oldest, he looks exactly like me. My daughter, she's a curious mixture of both of us. But my middle guy, he is dad through and through. He's 6 foot tall, plays hockey like dad, walks like dad. He is dad over through and through. To meet him, you meet his dad. Except even though he doesn't look a bit like me, we share the same spirit, he and I. We're extremely competitive at games and sports. And when we get on, you know, that board game, I'll tell you something. There is a look comes across his face. It's me through and through. It's the same spirit. We share the same spirit, even though he doesn't look a bit like me. Beloved, how much more? Christ is in you. And there are days the devil says, you don't look a bit like Jesus. You don't have any part in him. But I tell you something. As we begin to cry out on his name, the same spirit that animated Jesus Christ and raised him from the dead, the same spirit that is Jesus lives in you. And all of a sudden, a flash of himself will come through. He will be faithful to you. Don't let the devil shut you down and move you away from believing and trusting in your enduring time of sorrow, your enduring time of trial. When all of a sudden, it seems many days, there seems to be no lifting. Beloved, God is doing something so in you. You are looking more like Jesus than you know. Others around you see that flash and they recognize what he is doing in you. But we need to learn what it is to be that long, that patient Christian. And just, I've run out of time, but very quickly, I never did talk about what long suffering means. Maybe that's another message. But you know where patience is for situations, and patience is not to surrender under trial. Long suffering is patience with people. That God says, I'm going to strengthen you with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. That means endurance under trial that you will not buckle. And also long suffering, which means patience with people. I'm going to give you a grace where you can live in your situation and live under it for a season till I put my pressure and I'm formed in you. But then I'm going to give you a patience with people. Beloved, God knows what he is doing in this pressure business. He created pressure. Yes, he did. Think of it in the natural. He created atmospheric pressure, where there is pressure in the air up above us. There is pressure in the oceans around us. If you dive too deep and that per square inch pressure gets dangerous after a certain level, there's pressure in the earth we walk into that causes volcanoes and plate shifting. God knows all about pressure. He created it. Yeah. So when he puts you and I in that situation where we have to be long-suffering, where we have to be enduring and live under for a season, that pressure, and then he puts those people. But really, those people that we need to see our heart. Those people that are actually doing something. All that pressure is forming a diamond in our heart. All that pressure is for a purpose. He knows what he's doing. We can trust him. And when we see that God will give us patience with people, that means we're not going to be given to hasty anger with people. We're not going to be pushed out in the flesh. We're going to have an ability to deal with all kinds of people. How can we preach the gospel if we don't learn how to deal with all kinds of people? Not just our people, not just the people we like, not just the people we get along with, but all kinds of people. We need that pressure to learn how it is to live before them and reach them, because without that pressure, we don't reach them. We just reach our nice little circle. That's the only people God can trust us with. And he has to keep us in that little circle because he can't trust us with 95% of the rest of the population. But the pressure breaks us down, and he's going to give us long suffering, patience with people, mercy. You see, that word patience, a long suffering, means it has the quality of mercy embedded in it. As much as patience in circumstance means hope, long suffering means patience with people that has mercy embedded and needed right into it. It means that in order to deal with people in a merciful way, we need a restraint on our mind. We need a restraint. Because we are in the natural, we are so quick to form judgments. We are so quick to make judgments and to write people off. Beloved, when we have this mercy embedded in us and we begin to say, oh God, open my heart up to people. I don't want to be afraid of people. I don't want to judge people. I want to learn what it is, oh God, you who have been the most merciful to me, you who are my heavenly Father and has been nothing but mercy, has been written over my life where mercy endures forever. Whenever I, as long as I walk this earth, mercy, I can avail myself of mercy anytime. God, now let me give it as I get it. The more merciful we are towards other people, the more we understand the mercy available to us. If we're willing to be merciful, beloved, we get it when we need mercy. And we won't be shy into going to ask for it. This thing that God says, I'm going to give you an endurance in your trial and mercy and patience with people. God says, if you will do this, then I'm going to push you into a joy, into joyfulness. If you will ask me for this, if you will believe me for this, you can trust I can give you, work this in you today. You can leave this place with a new confidence. God, I'm calling on you every time I need that mercy for people instead of judgment. Every time, Lord, when I want that harsh word, when I want to push back, when I want to hate, when I want that prejudice to live, oh God, I can call on your mercy. You will free me, and Dagon's head will be lost if I will do that. And that ability to control me. I need mercy for people. I need endurance in trial. And then, beloved, we are going to learn what it is to be able to, as we experience that, we're going to experience a walking on water Christianity ourselves. We're going to walk on the water of adversity. We're going to walk on the water of unbelief. We're going to walk over it. It's going to be under our heel. If we'll say, God, I thank you that you're going to make me patient in adversity and long-suffering under trial. You can put me in a hard situation. And until you say it is over, I'm going to learn to live under that pressure, under that sorrow, under that trial with hope and with mercy for those around me. And then, beloved, he says, I'll push you into joyfulness as a walk on water Christianity. And then we begin to pray for the young men in our society. God, give them courage, because we needed courage ourselves. We're going to pray for those call on mothers to pray believing prayers, because their heart is so drawn out in love, because they're learning under trial, under having mercy, to be able to pray the biggest prayers they can pray for young people. They're experiencing a liberation in their own hearts. Where fathers can begin to pray and say, God, I want to lead by example. I do not want to provoke my children to wrath. I want to learn. I want them to learn mercy at my hand first. Oh, beloved, God says, I'm going to do this all in Colossians 1:11. I'm going to strengthen you from everything I have from heaven. Will you ask for it? Will you receive it? Because I'll give it to you. And then the bonus is I'll push you into a joyfulness everybody will want. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. For those today that are just saying, God, I want that strengthening. I've come, Lord, empty. You know the trial. The one I've been in a long time. I need that mercy for people. I need everything you've just spoken here in verse 11. Those that are coming now for God, for that strengthening. Will you come as the musicians play? We're going to believe God for a mighty touch that He promises in His Word. My brothers and sisters, have you ever noticed when we kind of do the surrender with our hands wide open, an unbared heart before God? This is sort of the position that we learn to fly in. With our hands, it's like wings, and God says, I take it and I'll take you up. I'll fill you with my strength. God says, I know the place I've appointed you. That place that right now you're under a trial, some fiery trial, some sorrowing place, pain-filled place. God says, I know why I have put you there, and you are not going under the trial, and you're not going to succumb under the circumstance. You're not going to fail. Because I've put you there. I heard the first prayer when you said, Jesus, take my heart. I heard the first prayer where you said, I want to glorify you. I want to be a witness. I want to be used. He heard the first prayer. And you're there on His appointment. And you're going to thrive and survive in that place. You're going to learn to be an enduring Christian. You're going to learn, and we're going to be people of compassion there. We're going to be people of mercy there. Being able to touch so many more people than we could ever touch if we'd not been in this place under the pressure and the trial. We're going to be kept. We're going to be changed. We're going to be used. We're going to be full of compassion. If you've come to this altar, I hope you've come ready to receive joy. God says, that's what I'm going to give you when you are believing me with that strength. You're going to believe me for that strength, for all patience and all long-suffering. I'm going to give you the bonus. You're going to be pushed into a joy. That's what people see. They don't see alone. They don't see the pain. They don't see the tears. They don't see the pressure. No, God's going to cover you. And there's going to be a joy, and it's going to be far deeper. And it's going to reach into their loneliness and their pain and their addiction. There's going to be something so much better, so much more powerful in your joy than you could ever imagine, because you're in a place God appointed under a trial, under that severe trial. But you're not going under. I'm not going under. We're coming out better, softer, more powerful, and with joy. Jesus, Lord, I pray now for everyone at this altar. I pray for everyone, God, with an uncovered heart and an uncovered spirit, that would come and say, God, I need to be strengthened with all might, with glorious power, unto all patience and unto all long suffering, with joyfulness. God, I'm asking for the joy your way. I'm asking it that I may be strengthened to have patience, strengthened to be long-suffering, strengthened to be compassionate, strengthened to care, strengthened to believe I'll make a difference, strengthened to go into a people group I'm afraid of, strengthened to follow you into certain places. But God, you're going to cover me, and you're going to infuse me, oh God, with such a purpose and a passion. God, my life is going to count, because in this time of pressure, God, you're forming Christ in me. Now, God, cause us to be strengthened now in this place, that we may have an enduring faith, that we may have a patience that fails not. Oh God, I thank you for Colossians 1:11. May God it be written on our hearts. May we draw on it all the days of our life. May we believe it, Lord, to make the difference you've called us to make. And God will give you all the glory, all the praise. And Lord, we do thank you for the joy that's now filling our hearts. Put your hand on every open heart in this place. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Now rejoice in Him, God. Rejoice in Him. He's answered that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, folks, you've just heard something right from heaven, from the heart of God. Take it home with you. Don't let the enemy cause it to be laid down, but take it home. Trust Him through this time, and you'll see the fruit of His righteousness begin to abound in your life. Father, thank You for this word today. God Almighty, Lord, thank You that You're guiding us as a people into a season, Lord, where You're able to entrust us with that which is closest to Your heart. Father, we thank You for this. Now keep us as we go. Lord, let the fellowship be unbroken in this house, firstly with You and secondarily with one another. We ask, Lord, that Your purposes be realized in each one of our lives. We thank You for this in Jesus' mighty name.
This is the conclusion of the message.